As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Everybody, what's up? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, No Messing Around Edition. Michael Beller, Brandon Funston, Jake Seeley here with you. It is Friday, April 29th, the first round of the 2022 NFL Draft in the books. Six more rounds coming our way on Friday and Saturday. We're going to spend most of our time on this episode talking about what did happen in the first round, talk about where players went, AJ Brown to the Eagles, all the fantasy reactions that come there. And Jake Seeley, how was Thursday night for you? I mean, only seven skill players drafted, plus that AJ Brown and Marquise Brown trades. That's not such a bad night, was it?
Except for the fact that most of that came in the span of 15 minutes. So
I guess that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
That was basically
all between 8 and 20.
Yeah, started off nice and slow, and then London popped with the Falcons, and I waited because I was doing a guest spot because Meany asked me to come on, and we were like, hey, we'll schedule it for after the Big Four come off the board. I was like, perfect, because I'll be done, and I just get done writing up about Jameson Williams, and then it was, I'm on his show, and I just went, oh, crap. And then like AJ Brown, oh shit, and I'm trying to write at the same time. If you saw that podcast, you could hear me typing on The Athletic in the background because it was Williams, Dotson, the two trades, and Burks all within the span of like 15 minutes. And it was legitimately a scramble fest. And then Funston got my text about 5 minutes later saying, hey, can you double check all that? Cause I think I went cross-eyed.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. We thought it might be. You know, it's funny in fantasy football, we always say, oh, this was the craziest year or whatever, and we're usually wrong. It's always crazy. Uh-huh. I feel like this is one of the craziest drafts, and I think we're right in saying that, you know.
Yeah.
Because of the condensedness of all the skill position players, because of the trades, because of the lack of quarterback interest, and I just feel like the NFL is really kind of gaining a sabermetric kind of foothold on things. They're prioritizing the right positions. Mm-hmm. And when a quarterback is truly not, you know, good, like they're not trying to convince themselves anymore that they are. And I kind of think it was a smart draft all around so far.
Yeah, it was a really fun first round, and hopefully that carries on through the weekend. Like I said, though, we're going to talk about what happened on the first round and all the fantasy effects that we expect to come off of it. So let's start with the big one. This was one that I don't think anyone saw. You know, the big one. There's one big one that stands out here, and that is AJ Brown getting traded to the Eagles. I mean, there's been rumors around him, of course. There's been rumors around Deebo Samuel. It didn't necessarily feel like it was going to happen. And then, boom, AJ Brown to the Eagles. He already had an extension in place with them as well. So, Jake, AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith, what are we thinking about this move?
Well, for Jalen Hurts, this is the big winner easily. Actually, I would say for all fantasy people involved, all the people drafted, he's the big winner. I think we could be looking at, I was talking with somebody else on Meany Show, and we agreed, like, we could be looking at the Lamar Jackson MVP season. And you got to remember, Lamar Jackson wasn't throwing 4,000 yards and 30-plus touchdowns that year. Like, it wasn't the Cam Newton MVP season, but we were talking about Jalen Hurts running for 800, 900 yards and then having a decent passing season and MVP, like real life or MVP, he could end up being the number one quarterback in fantasy. Like, that's on the table now. I know people like to crap on Jalen Hurts, but there aren't that many dissimilarities with, between him and Lamar Jackson, especially when you're talking about for fantasy purposes. Will he run for 1,200? No. But you add A.J. Brown, and you add what A.J. Brown not only brings for Jalen Hurts, but also what will help Devonta Smith on top of it. And I think floor is QB5. I think QB3 is a nice play in the middle, but I think there's a world where he finishes number one. So for A.J. Brown, slight downgrade, just because you're also talking about volume. Now, the Eagles last year passed even less than the Titans did. Actually, they passed less than anybody else in the league did. They're the only other team behind the Seahawks that, or besides the Seahawks, that didn't throw 500 times. So even if A.J. Brown was commanding the same target share, it would still be a downgrade. But he's got a better number two alongside of him, Devontae Smith, versus anything that was the corpse of Julio Jones or anything else that was over there. So it's a slight downgrade. And I think it's a slight downgrade for Devontae Smith now, but where they were 1 and 2 wide receivers, now they're 2 and 3 wide receivers. And they're not huge drops, but they both drop a tier. Again, the big winner here is Hurts before we even talk about what happened with the Titans after this.
Yeah, I think I get it with Jalen Hurts, and it's not, I don't think it's hyperbolic, because look at, I mean, it's not, Brown's going to a situation that's not completely dissimilar than Tennessee. It's going to be, still be kind of run heavy, but we've seen Ryan Tannehill playing off of play action stuff be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. Can Jalen Hurts do what Ryan Tannehill did with better weapons than Ryan Tannehill had? He did have A.J. Brown, but Corey Davis versus Devonta Smith. Give me Devonta Smith. Give me Dallas Goedert, you know. And so take what Ryan Tannehill did, but add 800-plus rushing yards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, suddenly you are talking about a very elite top-tier quarterback. So I think that's it's a good point, and it's, like I said, not hyperbolic to say it.
Yeah, it could be a monster season for Jalen Hurts, and he's going to be a very popular player in fantasy circles. Funston, are you on the same page as Jake, where we're bumping, you know, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith down from wide receiver 1 and wide receiver 2 to wide receiver 2 and wide receiver 3?
In the system with Jalen Hurts, I just can't get to the point where I'm wide receiver 1 on any of these guys. Yeah. I think A.J. Brown, you know, you could still argue maybe 15-20, like he can be a solid wide receiver too, but I just, there's enough guys lined up in that wide receiver one that have a better path to volume that you just got to go that direction.
Well, even if you give the Eagles 50 more pass attempts from last season, that still only puts them basically where the Titans were. And it's not even mid-pack. It's slightly below mid-pack. So they would need a significant jump. Similar to the conversation we were having about Lamar Jackson last year, is you need 100 pass attempts to really, you know, it just comes down to the waterfall. Like, you, even if, like, even if this was the Chiefs and Smith and Brown monopolize and they get 50%, you know, if you just take last year's numbers, you know, that's 250 that's 125 each. That was just, you, and that's if they get 50%. So that's it's simple math there.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. And this is the story of this, definitely. We're all in agreement on that, is Jalen Hurts. And I guess we get to stick with this trade, because this netted the Titans the 18th overall pick in the draft, which they used on the guy who I guess we have to assume is the immediate replacement for A.J. Brown, and that's Treylon Burks. Now, Treylon Burks was the 5th receiver taken. Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, or 6th receiver, excuse me, and Jahan Dotson all go in front of him, but Funston, is he, because of the landing spot and the competition or lack thereof, is he in the best spot of any of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to go Drake London 1, but as far as like situational landing spot, I would say Treylon Burks is number 2. And again, they're not going to throw a ton, but there's not a ton of options to throw to, and you can move Treylon Burks all over the place, and it's good for Robert Woods as well. I mean, Treylon Burks still has to go out and prove that he is going to be the receiver that the Titans think he's going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you miss on that. But if he is close, then it's a really good situation. And again, it's doing a lot of the same things that A.J. Brown did. Maybe not quite as high of a ceiling. You know, he's not quite the freak that A.J. Brown was. But, you know, he's more durable. He's out there more often. And, you know, maybe he can do a lot of the stuff similar. You know, I think you're talking, I think Jake said it, as a wide receiver 3. But you can imagine wide receiver 2 upside if if everything hits like, you know, the Titans are hoping it will.
And that, I think that would also include Robert Woods is just not Robert Woods. I know there's some talk whether he'll be 100% for week one, and that could obviously play a factor. But I almost think you would need that because Robert Woods is still, let's not deny what Robert Woods is. And I'm not saying you guys are. I'm just saying you forget, I should say, is a better word for everybody out there. Because if you say Woods and Burks, you know, that's it's not A.J. Brown and Julio, because well, and what Julio was, not the old Julio, saying last year's Julio. So
it's,
you get a lesser AJ Brown, but a better Julio. So they're close. They'll probably be neck and neck, but you'll probably get Burks a little bit more variance, a little bit more touchdowns. Woods will be the reliant one, but probably both wide receiver threes, just because, again, we know what this team is, and it's Derrick Henry first. And, you know, Tannehill has to be remarkably efficient, which he has been, but especially in the touchdown department. On the real NFL side, Titans, what the hell? Stop being cheap. You are contenders. You're contenders. Yeah. And you played the cheap game with this? He said he would have stayed for 22 a year, whether or not you believe him. But the truth is they offered him 16, which could have maxed at 20 if he hit all of incentives. NFL.
So here's my take on that. First of all, he's a power forward receiver, and they tend to not age as well. And he came into the league.
He's 24, right?
No,
he's
I know.
Yeah, but he's going to be 25 in June.
He came into the league with bulky knees. It hasn't cost him significant time, but it's cost him a little bit of time.
It has. Yep.
Internally, they could be saying, you know what? We don't trust another 4 to 5 years at $22 million a year.
Well, here's the good thing, Brandon. You don't have to worry about that because you're not contenders in 4 to 5 years.
Right? Like, aren't they only worried about the next 2 years? I mean, they were the
best.
That's
my
point.
I don't disagree with you at all, Funston, on that aspect. I don't. And, like, and you know, they're saving money. Like, here's the thing. Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. Like Beller just said, your window is the next 2 years. Your team is built to win now. If this was the Falcons... Absolutely. Like, if the Falcons have really didn't get suspended and they went out and said, you know what, he's due for a contract next year, we're not re-signing, this team's blow-up mode, we'll go make that trade, no problem.
Okay, but, well, how much do you think the factor on the hit rate of first-round receivers of late has been really good? And you got guys like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, even Amon Ross. I mean, like, there's been, like, a pretty good history now in the last, you know, 5 years of receivers that you think are good and you draft high in the draft actually coming into the league and hitting right away.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I mean,
well, and so you're basically saying they're turning into quarterbacks now. Everybody's devaluing them. Or running backs, not quarterbacks, running backs.
Yes.
They're devaluing
paying the second contract for these guys thinking they can just replace them. Yes. So, yeah, it's the new world order where running backs that are, you know, you get rid of your running back after the first contract.
Did you just break out an NWO reference? Is that what that was?
Yeah, that was.
That was exactly what that was, right? I don't get it from the Titans standpoint. I truly don't. Just because, like we're saying here, I mean, come on, Titans. I mean, but when Derrick Henry got hurt, they were the number one seed in the AFC. And if Henry doesn't get hurt, and we're talking about like a full go Derrick Henry in the playoffs last year, which we just know was not the case, even though he was out there, who knows how the AFC plays out?
Are you really concerned about the Colts with Matt Ryan? And there's like, no, but like, Houston's not a factor. Jacksonville's not a factor, as much as we expect Jacksonville to be better. But like that division is theirs. I'm just saying, like, you're not wrong, Funston, but at the same time, like, from the real NFL side, it's like, you want a championship, because we're going to be watching 2 years from now. They're probably going to be.
Is this almost like an admission by them that, like, AFC South, like, 11-6 AFC South champs lose in the wild card round is their ceiling as currently constructed?
Are you thinking, like, a 5 years ago Bulls fan is like, let's just face the fact, let's stop skirting into the playoffs and realize that in about a year or two,
yeah.
We just
like,
need
is,
to
that, is this sort of a tacit admission by them that they,
if they draft the quarterback in round two, then yes. If they take Willis Ritter, Howell, or Court Corral, then yeah.
Well, you saw Vrabel's. I don't know if you saw his, you know, explanation, but he didn't seem like a guy that was at peace with all of this. Uh-huh. So it was. It seemed like he was a little bit frazzled, you know, coming up with the right words.
Is Vrabel ever at peace, though? So, like, that's a tough barometer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, who the hell knows? It was a strange, really the exclamation point that came right in the middle of that frenzied activity that you were talking about.
And timeout. Sorry. But let's not forget the trade value is the same as Marquise Brown. Like that's
that's exactly where I'm going. That happened, those happened back to back. Those happened back to back, right?
Yeah.
Like,
if
those happened within minutes of each other.
How did you get the same package that Marquise freaking Brown got?
I don't know, but they didn't. So what do we think of that move? What do we think of that move on all sides? I mean, Marquise Brown goes to the Cardinals. It can't be from a pure fantasy perspective. It can't be bad news for him.
It's not
him.
Good news.
Can you? Okay, here's the I've been kind of thinking
about
this.
It's bad news for Lamar. Is it bad news for anyone else?
It could be bad news for Marquise Brown. Like, here's the deal with Arizona. Like, Cliff Kingsbury comes in with his reputation of throwing the ball like crazy. And if you look at the Cardinals' wide receiver receptions in all four of his years, they're like top eight in three of those 4 years. But they've had one wide receiver that has finished as a wide receiver two or better. And that was DeAndre Hopkins' first year there when he was wide receiver five. Last year he would have been again, but he got hurt. But the second receiver there has never been a wide receiver three. They've never been a wide receiver. Last year, Christian Kirk was wide receiver 28. I kind of blend the Hopkins Kirk as one because Kirk kind of had to take over as the number one after Hopkins went down. But Christian Kirk was wide receiver 28 last year and he got paid $20 million. But I'm just saying, whether it's been AJ Green or Christian Kirk or Larry Fitzgerald, there's just never been a quality number two wide receiver in that offense.
But isn't Marquise Brown better than those guys?
No.
Like, how much of that is because of Kirk's offense and how much of that
is he than Christian Kirk?
Not.
You don't think he is?
Maybe a slightly, but is that going to be, is that difference going to show out on the field? I don't know if it's going to. Yeah.
I just think it comes down to, so what I'll say, and this is actually what I said to Meany, is I would still take Marquise Brown over Rondale Moore. But is there a world, and would you be shocked if Marquise Brown fell to four and was just his inconsistent 20, 2, 3, 20, 5, and Rondale Moore fits the 2021, not 22, or 20, wait, last
2020.
Year. 2020, not 2021, Gabriel Davis, and ends up being a wide receiver three just from the fit. And, you know, because we saw how much Kyler Murray was impacted by the loss to Hopkins, Marquise Brown brings that downfield threat, but, you know, Kyler Murray is accurate, but not the biggest arm. And I think Hopkins is going to take away some of what Marquise Brown brings to the team. So I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying Marquise Brown doesn't finish in front of Rondale Moore, but I think there's a chance that it happens. And that's why I could see it being a slight downgrade. I think this obviously helps Kyler Murray get back to who Kyler Murray was.
Sure.
Let's also remember, he was the QB1 at times and has been actually twice the past 2 years. At times, he's been the QB1 for a couple weeks. So I think that helps him. And I don't know. I don't really think it's a downgrade of Lamar Jackson because I think we were all waiting and hoping that Bateman would be a thing already. And I think Bateman fits a little bit better for what they need. But I also am expecting as of right now that they will add a wide receiver. Like, hell,
I have to assume that. They might have done that before, even if they didn't get rid of Marquise Brown.
I will say Jarvis Landry is still sitting out there.
Yeah. Would look awfully nice in that uniform. Rashad Bateman, though. I mean, how high is too high for Rashad Bateman right now?
Still just a wide receiver three. It's just the Lamar Jackson.
Wide receiver 35 like or wide receiver 3 as in wide receiver 28?
High end, like Funston just said. I would say, and if he finished it, if he finishes like 22, wouldn't it shock me.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Yeah. So that's exciting. that's exciting for Rashad Bateman, and another new guy in the wide receiver pool that we can be looking at. And frankly, we've got a lot of those guys. Let's talk about all those rookies who ended up going in the first round. The six that we expected, I'm a little surprised we didn't maybe get another one. I'm sure we're going to see George Pickens and Sky Moore and Christian Watson be among the very first guys selected when the second round kicks off. But the six we expected to go in the first round, they all went. Drake London to the Falcons, Garrett Wilson to the Jets, Chris Olave to the Saints, Jameson Williams to the Lions, Jahan Dotson to the Commanders, and as we talked about, Treylon Burks to the Titans. So let's just talk about these guys. Jake, not including Burks, since we already talked about him. And you know what? Not including London, because I feel like that's the layup here. So Wilson, Olave, Williams, and Dotson. Which one of those guys are you most excited about based on just this first rookie year?
It's Wilson. I think going forward, I would want Williams over Wilson, but we all know could be four games, could be six games. And I'll even say I would take, you know, I asked Meany this question. You guys can answer it too. I'm curious. And we both agreed. Even if we knew today Jared Goff is the quarterback in 2023, as he's still like the Lions just say, we're fine with Jared Goff. We can win with Jared Goff. I'd still take Williams as the second wide receiver of this draft over Olave because he's that good. And Jared Goff, whether or not under McVay, well, we've talked about before that the NFL teams made adjustments to stop letting stop showing their formation before the headset clicked off because Jared Goff wasn't adjusting as well as McVay was telling him to. He still made Woods and Kupp have 80 to 90 receptions all 3 years, 900 to 1100 plus yards all three years. He still knows how to throw the football. He's still an NFL quarterback. So I would still take Williams, but for just this year, I am taking Wilson. Olave could be intriguing if Michael Thomas is toast. We haven't seen him in over a year. Now it's going to be almost 2 years by the time the NFL season rolls around. So I don't think he is, but I think Olave is intriguing. But Wilson was the argument for the best wide receiver. I thought he was the second best behind London, but he's the most complete. Him and Elijah Moore are great. Zach Wilson should be taking a step forward. And now that's the downside.
Poor Corey Davis.
Yeah, the hope for a Corey Davis bounce back season is completely out the window.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I really like Olave's landing spot, even if Michael Thomas is there. They seem to complement each other really well. I was surprised the Saints didn't go with Jameson Williams. I would take him over Olave 100 times out of 100. But it speaks to
me. There's something about the Ohio State that they love in New Orleans.
Well, and I think that Olave is just a much better version of Ted Ginn. He's going to allow Jameis Winston to throw that deep ball that he is proficient at, and if Michael Thomas is there, that plays off of it nicely.
I'm laughing because I know what you mean, but I think everybody out there when you said Ted Ginn just threw up in their mouths.
I know. I said a much better version, but
much better.
Yeah,
much, much, much better. I mean,
he'll take the top off of defense for sure. But yeah, Jameis Williams could as well, and I think the deal was everything that I keep hearing is the Saints really believe they are contenders this year, and if they really believe that, then they're taking Olave because they don't have to wait a month or a month and a half on Jameson Williams.
Lions are going to be fun, yeah. I mean, this is going to be like, I mean, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, T.J. Hockenson. Like, is this suddenly like a fun? This is the most fun Lions team we've had since Calvin Johnson's been gone.
They were fun. I was getting excited about drafting Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm a little less.
Are you not anymore?
I mean, I'm a little less so. Yeah, there's just another mouth to feed and a pretty good one. Although it could take a little while before that.
You draft Amon-Ra St. Brown and flip him before Williams comes back. Of course, for everybody, there's different levels of people.
Amon-Ra St. Brown's still going to be the best receiver on their team. He's going to be the most productive receiver.
Not once Williams is back.
You don't think so?
I put money as soon as I'd say if you gave me 2 weeks after Williams hits the field, so not those first, like I want to get, you know, into the role of it. So let's say he misses the first 4 weeks, week seven to the end of the season, I would take the bet Williams produces more.
All right. Well, we'll circle back to that when we get a little closer to the draft season.
And so what I was going to say real quick, there's different levels of people that are listening to us. The ones that are playing in less experienced leagues, that's the Amon-Ra St. Brown draft and then sell before Williams comes back. And don't wait till the 1 week before Williams comes back. You know, sell him a week or two before that. But that's where you can max your value off that. Because, Beller, even if St. Brown does outproduce Williams, it won't be the target volume that he's going to see once Williams is back.
Yeah. Sell him after.
Are any of these guys in either of your guys' minds better than wide receiver threes this season?
On St. Brown and Williams or all the people that
The rookies.
Yeah, I would say London definitively, in my opinion. The rest, I'd say Wilson, 3, Olave 3, Williams 4 for the season, but I'd say could push 2 once on the field. He's that good. Dotson 3 or 4. It really depends on Curtis Samuel. Burks 3. Burks high on 3, as we talked about, though. But yeah.
I mean, I still like London the best. Am I all the way up to a wide receiver 2 on him? I have issues with Marcus Mariota. He was never a wide receiver friendly quarterback. His tight end was always kind of like the guy for him. And I just
wait.
But yeah, well, Atlanta could be in the quarterback market in round 2. So, you know, they
remember Rashard Matthews finished.
Yes, I do.
And that was wide receiver 18 that year with Delanie Walker.
It was like a 9 touchdown season, and that could be London. London could get 9 touchdowns as a rookie. So I mean,
that's what we're asking about.
I'm open to that.
Mariota knows how to play football.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that he's not the greatest passer, and not necessarily. But London might actually be the best fit for him. You know, so.
But yes, Rashard Matthews in 16 games, it was 65. Receptions, 65 receptions, 945 yards, and 9 touchdowns.
That's a reasonable expectation.
That's a reasonable, Drake London could do that this year.
I think that's possible.
Yeah. I think it's definitely
possible. Sandwiched between Golden Tate and Tyrell Williams.
Oh, man. Those heady days of yore.
You want the most random of randomness? That was 21 in front of Tyreek Hill that year. Terrell Pryor, everybody.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, my. Ohio State. Right. Oh, my God. I fell for Terrell Pryor hook, line, and sinker the next year.
I think a few of us did.
I was so in on Terrell Pryor. And, that didn't exactly work out. How hilarious is the Kenny Pickett-Mitch Trubisky QB battle going to be?
Hilarious for anybody thinking it's going to make a difference.
I can't wait for that.
Get how they didn't take Malik Willis. You have a bridge quarterback.
Or even Ritter.
Well, I just think that Trubisky is a classic bridge. And so if you have a bridge, you might as well get the guy with the highest upside that can be developed for a year or two. And
yes. It's the story.
Sure, but I was saying Ritter was kind of the in-between one. Like, you know, Emery tweeted this out this morning, and Emery's 100% right. It's like everybody keeps saying, well, Pickett's the floor. No. Pickett just eclipsed his entire previous seasons in touchdowns in one season. Combined, mind you. All of those years combined. Fifth-year breakout. The floor, look at Ritter's years. Look at his career. Look at his play. Ritter was the floor. Everybody's saying Pickett's the floor. No. So I agree with you, Fonson. Like, I still think it should be Willis, like you
How
said.
Are you taking a floor quarterback in the first round anyway?
On top of it.
What's the point of that?
I guess if anybody knows Pickett, he literally shares the same practice field. Like, they've seen a lot of him. So there is something to that. Like, they know him more than anybody else does, for sure.
Well, that's definitely
true. I honestly can't get over the fact that he has the same size hands as me, and I've gripped an NFL football. And I know he's bigger, and he might be stronger and all that.
He played in Pittsburgh for 5 years. It's not like he doesn't play in cold weather.
I know, but I think the hand size thing is a deal.
Against ACC defenses.
No,
the
I'm
biggest
not disagreeing
hand size
with you there,
in the league at quarterback is Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. I mean, that's a pretty good selling point for having big hands.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I just never could get over that. So,
but to go back to your question, it's net neutral. Like Pickett versus Trubisky.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback is for Deontay and Najee and blah.
The only thing that might change, and so there's two parts here, is I tweeted this out this morning, is day 2, so rounds 2 and 3, wide receiver draft positions that could kind of have like a ripple effect, change some things, you know, like your Bears, Beller, stuff like that. One of them I listed was Pittsburgh, because we've heard rumors that they're not sold on Claypool being the number 2. So I'm bringing this in to say,
isn't Claypool announcing a draft pick for them?
I know. Well, let's remember. Do you remember Darius Slayton was out there announcing Kadarius Toney's pick last year? Like that was Andy Behrens was the one that said, wouldn't it be great if Claypool's on the stage announcing the pick for a better wide receiver? So the thing, but I'm saying that is that that's the one thing, is that Trubisky and Pickett might not have the same tendency of who they like the most. You know, we all sit here and say it should be Deontay, but what if? You know, what if them connect differently? What if Pickett connects with the rookie? Like, that's still out there.
Well, this is a lose-lose situation for him, right? Because if Pickett wins this job, they're overpaying Mitch Trubisky. Uh-huh. If Trubisky wins this job, they overrated Kenny Pickett because he's supposed to be the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft.
I mean,
he's not ready.
That pick just makes – like, even if you are – I don't see how you defend this pick at all. He's a floor quarterback. Why would you take a floor quarterback in the first round? Oh, because you think you're contending. Well, if you think you're contending, like, is he that much better than Trubisky? Why wouldn't you go get someone who can help you? Like, only one of these guys can play.
Yeah.
It's a crazy, confounding pick. I don't get it at
all. Unless you're the Saints, you can move one on the tight end.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Maybe, you know, Mitch is an athlete.
I actually saw that. Yeah. Taysom Hill is officially listed as a tight end now. Like, they took him off the QB depth chart.
I mean, was he ever really on it? Let's be honest.
No,
let's
be.
Was he ever?
He's really the emergency on it. Quarterback now.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next, you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Let's talk about some guys who are still yet to come. Guys who are going to be drafted. I think we can pretty much safely say they'll be at some point today. Yeah, let's get right into it, Jake. Malik Willis. What are we looking for? Where do we want him to go? What realistic landing spot makes him 2022 relevant?
You asked two different questions there. The first question is, okay, where do you want him to go? Giants, please. Giants. I went to bed praying. Giants.
How much of that is your Giants fandom, and how much of that is just agnostic, this will be a good spot for him?
So it's 100% Giants fandom and 100% that, like, I think it's a great landing spot for 2023. You want to talk about a bridge quarterback? Daniel Jones is now a bridge quarterback. Let's talk 2023. Realistically, we said it from day one, we've said it till now. The answer is still Funston Seahawks, because he goes there, can beat out Drew Locke, and yes, there's a chance that he doesn't. There's a chance, I've even said this, that he Patrick Mahomes it. He doesn't play until the end of the season, and that's good for his development and for the future. But you want to talk about a potential landing spot right now, because nobody's drafting him around two or three. 100% he's day one starter. This is now a lot of teams, like even the Titans are rumored, maybe the Falcons, and he has to beat out Mariota. But if you want to talk about beating out options, you know, yes, he can beat out Mariota. Yes, he could. No, if you beat out and should Drew Lock, you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. That is the best spot, no question. It's not even close.
Yeah, and they can run, you know, a Baltimore or Philadelphia style offense, sure, where you're running RPOs and you're running play action, or, you know, Tennessee, where you're not making Malik Willis, you know, play in a rhythm passing game, but you're more taking your shots with him, you know, and limiting his overall exposure in the passing game. And I think they could manage that pretty well with those guys. So, yeah, I mean, I guess as a Seattle fan, I'm for it. I mean, let's go for upside. Let's, you know, if you're gonna replace Russell Wilson, you might as well dream big.
I mean, even if you guys got Ritter, it's the best spot right now. It's the best spot.
Yeah, for sure. It's almost easy to forget, just because, you know, we've associated the Seahawks with Russell Wilson for a decade now. So it's almost easy to, like, Russell Wilson's gone, we immediately write them off. They had the ugly year last year. And so it's almost, like, sort of easy to forget that a quarterback who's starting there is falling into a pretty good position that they just need to be capable of taking advantage of.
Oh, yeah. I was actually updating the depth charts this morning for my projections for once this is all over. And I'm like, this is nuts. Like, the quarterbacks, let alone the wide receivers. I mean, people who tune out of the NFL are going to come around in July and be like, what? Like, where are these wide receivers? What the hell happened?
Right.
Where are these guys? Well, how about the wide receivers who are still left? George Pickens, Christian Watson, Sky Moore, Alec Pierce, Funston. Which one of these guys, you know, you can do whatever you want to do with it, but which one of these guys are you like, all right, I really want to see where this guy goes, because the right situation could make him fun for fantasy right away.
Yeah, I mean, Jake likes him too. Pickens is our guy. I mean, he's had off-the-field stuff that's dragging him down, plus the injury where he hadn't, you know, really had a full season last year. Mm-hmm. But the comp is like A.J. Green at his best. Like, the you know, if you want to dream big, A.J. Green is what he looks like. He's built like him, has the potential to be in that ilk. I've seen him comp to the Bears. I was talking to you about this before. Yeah. Like, that doesn't immediately excite me, because, you know,
why the hell not?
Because Fields is still a work in progress, and I don't think you maximize your potential for Pickens in that spot. Obviously,
and then
Green Bay has what, a couple picks this round? I mean, man, if you were to make
not
it to
Green 53.
Bay,
Yeah, he's not making it to 53.
I said that last night, Funston. Their pick is 53. You could see Watson, Pickens, Mechie, Moore, off the board. And now they're like looking at David Bell.
Alec Pierce is a guy that I was mentioning. I like him. Big target, runs fast. He's athletic. Showed well.
Multi-sport star.
Yeah. So Alec Pierce could be a sleeper if he landed in Green Bay, for sure.
I think the fit for Green Bay, I think Mechie and Moore make the most sense. You want somebody, they kept Alan Lazard. You want somebody who gets open quick. Like, that's what you want. That's why I would actually.
Is Moore making it to 53?
No. But you for asking your question, you said, like, who would you like to see for fit?
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit better than Pickens, although I do think Pickens is the best talent, clearly, left on the board at wide receiver. But, maybe for fit and opportunity. The one other one I was going to say for looking at wide receivers now is we're still waiting on Cleveland. I mean, they got to do something alongside Amari Cooper. It's not going to be Donovan Peoples-Jones. So do they get into this mix? As a complete sidebar, and we'll have to be talking about this one next week, I thought I saw Lance Zierlein. He did his tiers by rounds. Mm-hmm. He had Justin Ross as a priority free agent, and that raised my eyebrows, and that has to only be because of injury. I hope this kid gets back to 100%, because if you want, again, talent, the top two wide receivers, talent on the board are Pickens and Ross. Uh-huh. Ross, if he's just like, I feel bad for him if he's nothing what he once was. Testament again, do not crap on these kids when they want to come out of college, and do not crap on people when they want to go get a big contract, because the next day you could be done.
Yes, and we would all be doing the exact same thing, every single one of us.
I was just quickly looking what our guy Dane Brugler had mocked for the second round for the Packers, and one of the picks was Christian Watson, so that could be intriguing.
Yeah. They got to come out of this.
Oh, yeah, just what they need. Somebody else who doesn't know how to get out of his break.
I think we all agree that's the landing spot for the wide receiver where we're going to get the most excited.
Would you really be more excited about Christian Watson in Green Bay than George Pickens in Chicago?
Yes.
No. Yeah, I would. I would. Talent has to matter.
Yeah, at quarterback. I'm going to trust Aaron Rodgers to deliver the ball to Christian Watson more than I'm going to trust Justin Fields.
I think the Packers are like sold in their own Alan Lazard and Sammy Watkins life over there.
Oh, my God. What
By the way, I am just so tired of listening to Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers are, upset because the teams aren't taking care of their wide receiver needs. I just got done watching Draft Day again. Kevin Costner telling, Brian, whatever the incumbent quarterback not Brian Hartline.
It's like Cleveland. I've never seen the movie.
Tell him
to do his job and he would do his job, and they don't worry about it. It's like, you're getting paid. Do your job. Don't creating this narrative that we have to feel sorry for Jackson and Aaron Rodgers.
I will never, ever in my life feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers.
after this, it was the right move because the big six were gone. But, at this point, I think we all understand why Rodgers is a ticked off person every year.
That's another team that's like, the window is now. Like, why don't, like, they didn't.
Well,
they
and you could have traded
They couldn't
up.
Have swung
you,
a trade. They couldn't have traded yeah. 22 and 53 and moved
up. The Saints did it. You could have done what the Saints did. And on top of that, let's just talk about their picks. The second pick, great pick. First one, I don't think there's one person out there who wasn't saying Dean was the better linebacker from that team. So you got that on top of it.
I just wish the NFC North can make them pay this year, but I don't know if it can.
Yeah.
Minnesota.
Aaron Rodgers got his $50 million. That's really all he cared about. He's spent his whole career making stars out of third, fourth, fifth round receivers. And, for him to expect anything different, I don't know why we think that.
Go do it again, Aaron. Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker. Where do we want to see them go? Let's hear it quick, and then we'll wrap this thing up. What do you got, Jake?
Houston, Buffalo.
Yep, Breece Hall for Houston. I just want a bell cow opportunity. Walker, right. No. I'm going to go back to my earlier pick. I want him to go to Arizona. I want him to – I know it's kind of more of a similarity to James Conner, but I want somewhere where he can potentially take over there. I don't want him to split from day one. I'd rather – and this is selfish, like, for everybody to understand. It's not the ideal landing spot from day one. I want him to land somewhere so I can get a discount on him and then take him once the person in front of him goes down.
So you're assuming that James Conner.
Atlanta at 58? What's wrong with that?
I like Atlanta. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one, too.
That's right,
good
one.
I mean, is
I changed
it,
my pick.
Of,
good call, Funston.
Arizona, Atlanta, Houston, Buffalo. Is anyone else?
I don't want Buffalo.
In these guys. But I'm just saying, is anyone even interested?
Oh.
Like,
yeah.
Is there going to be an
Spiller? There's been a lot of talk about the Giants could be looking at Spiller in round three. The rumor there.
I'm talking about these guys, Hull and Walker.
Oh, just these two? Just only these two? I think that's really kind of about it.
Right? It feels like it has to be one of those four teams for both of these guys.
There's just nowhere left to go right now.
Yeah.
Tampa?
Yeah.
Tampa at the end of the round?
I don't think they've been rumored, though.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it. So
I find it, I wouldn't. I mean, it's possible, of course, running backs. I wouldn't think that these guys.
I mean, even Melvin Gordon went back.
Last to the end of the round.
Yeah.
You know? So
KC has two picks. KC could be a, you know, team.
KC whiffing on a running back would be kind of hilarious again.
Although I don't think they whiff if they take those two.
I guess that's true. The whiff, it looks so bad with Jonathan Taylor doing what he's doing in Indy. I'll always hold a grudge for
Jonathan Taylor on the Chiefs. Oh,
on, I will always hold a grudge on JT's behalf, proud badger that I am. So obviously the best running back. And he fell victim. Oh, Wisconsin running backs. It's all the offensive line. Such a stupid thing if you ever watch Jonathan Taylor play football. But that's done. That's it. That's done. That's behind us. So is this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the draft. You got six more rounds coming your way. Should be a lot of fun. And let's all laugh at Funston when George Pickens on the Bears is so much better than Christian Watson on the Packers in 2022. Get excited for it because it's going to happen, my friends. Thanks so much for listening. For Jake, for Funston, I'm Michael Beller. Have a great weekend. We'll be talking to you next week.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.